Hi, this is Debbie Mayer in Hudson, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 on your radio dial or streaming 24/7 at WGXC.org.
Hey everybody, we're the Game Hoarders. We're on every Thursday from 3:30 to 4.
We're invading your airwaves. Come on, it would be fun.
I'm not always there, but when I am, you get to hear my epic voice.
On WGXC 90.7 FM.
Where you listen to all the best music and you can definitely hear us invading.
We're better.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
All Together Now listens for feedback from the public. Anyone who wants to leave a public comment can call 518-291-9492 and leave an audio message up to 3 minutes with any sort of opinion about something you heard on All Together Now. You can also send emails to info@wgxc.org with opinions about what you hear here.
This is Temro, and you've tuned into the Saturday edition of All Together Now. Today, we'll hear radio news, local weather, features, and more. Stay tuned to your regional music show covering the Hudson Valley Capital Region from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. It's time for All Together Now.
This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves
controlled.
On air, in air, channel
connection.
And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
I'm Tom Rowe with a WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org to find out more about anything you hear here. Carly Miller reports for Columbia Green Media that Wyndham has renewed its contract with Mid-Hudson Cable for 15 years after 30 years of service in the town. Expanding broadband service to the hamlet of Maplecrest is part of the contract. Quote, some of Maplecrest is currently covered, but as you keep driving toward the CD Lane Park, a lot of those residents don't have any cable, they don't have any broadband, they don't have any cell phone service, unquote, councilperson Ian Peters said. In the past year, ahead of contract negotiations, Mid-Hudson extended service to parts of Mill Street, Begley Road, and Pheasant Lane. A public hearing had customers grumbling about high prices, but not commenting on the franchise agreement. Now, with the new contract, quote, over 95% of Wyndham residents will be offered broadband services, which is phenomenal, unquote, Peter said. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The town of Ghent issued a press release June 7th saying they made a formal complaint to Charter Spectrum and to the State Public Service Commission about the cable company's failure to provide service in the town. On May 8th, a representative for Spectrum, which used to be called Charter, promised new service in Ghent by June 5th. But customers needed a new set-top box, they said. Quote, a letter was sent to existing customers with instructions on how to obtain the new equipment needed. Unfortunately, the phone number on the letter provided most customers with misinformation at best. Those who called were met with answers like, quote, we have no information on that, unquote, or, quote, you don't need a new box, unquote, or, quote, we have no record of you being a customer, unquote. And then June 5th passed with no new service from the company. Quote, we believe the less than adequate performance and customer service local subscribers have been experiencing during this situation flies in the face of the merger agreement with the State Public Service Commission regarding improvement of customer service, unquote, Ghent's press release read. David Lombardo reports at Capital Confidential that both the State Assembly and State Senate have bills now to allow sports gambling in New York. Last month, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled states can legalize sports gambling, and Delaware has already rushed a bill into law. The language in the New York bills estimate the state would make between $10 million and $30 million every year from taxes on sports betting. Read the full story at Capital Confidential. I'm Tom Rowe reporting for WGXC. Find out more in the newsroom at WGXC.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
The National Weather Service is predicting sunny skies and temperatures in the 70s locally for the rest of the week, with Saturday mostly sunny, a high of 75 and a low around 50. Sunday should also be mostly sunny, with a high near 71 and a low around 51. Monday, there's sunny skies in the forecast again, with a high near 70 and a low around 52. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported creative community radio.
This is that time once again, and just like any station that relies on listener support, you know, we got to remind you that it's just about that time. So do it to create a better local community. Do it for any reason whatsoever. Even if you don't listen that much, you can donate out of the principle, you know. This is the day during we have consolidation of media is a big problem. You've got, in my opinion, and you know, you have a lot of stations and TV stations and companies being bought up by larger companies and conglomerate, and that's it. You know, it's like you could look at a box of Ritz crackers and it's not Ritz crackers anymore, or Nabisco or whatever it is. It's you know, it's probably Unilever or Mondelez or some, you know, giant, you know, mega global conglomerate corporation. So we are independent. We answer to nobody but you and your mama and your papa and your brother and your sister and your neighbors. You guys are our brothers and sisters and our mothers and fathers. And, you know, that's what we do. We don't have commercials. You know, we don't have sponsors telling us, we're going to pull our advertising if you talk about Donald Trump that way. So that's awesome. You know, you're going to hear real opinions on the station. You're going to hear real feelings, real emotions from people who live right near you. Or if you're a visitor here, people who you might see down the street, people who you might see at the Spotty Dog or at the Carolina House or at Chatham Brewery or Crossroads Brewery or any of these places. I got breweries on my mind. Tonight I'm going to S&S Brewery in Nassau. I've never been there and I'm very excited. You know, some of these farmers are starting to turn to beer because milk, again, with companies being bought up by each other, it's not profitable for a lot of local farmers to be dairy farmers anymore. So you got people, farmers, like doing beer, and that's great. I'm really very fine with that. But anyway, there's just so much going on around here. So yeah, I've heard great things about S&S Brewery in Nassau. It's like way hard to find and tucked away, and it's like on this guy's land, and it's his own. Six generations they own this farm, and finally switched from dairy to beer. We've had a beer show on this station before from the Kenny from Crossroads. There's just so much going on. And another great feature of WGXC to just illustrate why the station is valuable and important is our community calendar of events. Our website is the best place, really, literally the best place to see what's going on in Greene and Columbia County. Don't forget that. So in addition to the, just in the moment, like enjoying listening to this radio station, check out the calendar of events because there's an endless array of things that are happening around this area. So go to wavefarm.org or wgxc.org. And before or after you donate, click on calendar and you'll see so much going on.
Next, we have these reports.
Thanks, 10-4.
You're listening to Radio News About Radio Waves. Headlines from the ether. Headlines.
The New York Times reports that sound may be a cause of a mysterious ailment infecting American diplomats and their families in China recently. This report comes after the 2016 case of American embassy employees and their family members in Cuba falling ill with headaches, nausea, hearing loss, cognitive issues, and other symptoms after they reported hearing odd sounds. The result in Cuba was colder relations between the Cuban and U.S. governments. These new sound attacks come as U.S. leaders wonder if the Chinese are undermining relations with North Korea. The Times article seems to float the possibility that China or Russia could be responsible for the attacks. The article says, quote, "The injuries in Cuba, like those in China, followed disturbing sensations of sounds and vibrations that have been described variously as the noises made by cicadas, static, metal sheets waving, or, in one case, marbles rolling around a metal funnel," unquote. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said this week he is creating a healthcare task force to examine, quote, "the unexplained health incidents that have affected a number of U.S. government personnel and family members stationed overseas," unquote. I'm Tom Rowe reporting for Wave Farm Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
I am your host from One Size Fits All on WGXC.
Have you given yet? Have you been radioactive?
It's an amazing phenomenon when you actually break through the clutter of the Clear Channel stations and the religious broadcasters and all of that and the NPR stations, and you get to hear actual human beings talking about what matters to them. In a way that's just honest. On the way here, I heard the interview with the high school student who was down at Occupy Albany, and I thought, wow, this is what this is about. I would never have guessed there was an African-American teenager in Catskill or wherever she's from who had been down to Occupy Wall Street, and to hear the transformation that she went through as a result of being there is just amazing to me. There's no way that I could have been exposed to that without this radio station. So I would like to thank you. I had to drive here personally to thank you because I couldn't find my cell phone.
Man, Steve, you want to hang out for a little longer? We're on Pledge Week right now, and you just nailed it. You're just, wow, okay, exactly what he said, folks. We are on Pledge Week, and we are community radio. We do depend on you, and I'm just going to throw out the number there again. It's 828-0290. Please show us your support. We depend on your contributions. Give us a buzz.
What do listeners hear on 90.7 FM, WGX?
Okay, so, we talked about the music, the cultural and public affairs, transmission art, youth programming, morning and afternoon shows, and news. So let's jump back to the youth.
Let's break it down.
Okay.
The youth programming from 3:30 to 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday.
Yep.
WGXC airs programming by and for local youth. We actually, if you are a young person or know a young person who might be interested in being on the radio, having a radio show, you can try it just one time. You can apply.
Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another right now.
Hi, everybody. This is Dan from the Battlefield Earth Program. Have you donated yet to the radio station WGXC? Well, it's as easy as going to WGXC.org and hitting the donate button. It's like picking a chocolate out of a baby's hair. Please remember, we need you so that you can need us. WGXC.org.
This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your signal to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, June 8th. The FCC has proposed fining Hobby King Corporation and associated entities $2.8 million for apparently marketing non-compliant RF devices and for failing to comply with commission orders. The proposed penalty comes in the wake of a 2017 ARRL complaint. According to a June 5th FCC Notice of Apparent Liability, Hobby King appears to have sold non-compliant audio-video transmitters intended for use with unmanned aircraft, such as drones, and in some instances marketing them as amateur radio equipment. The FCC stated, quote, "The Enforcement Bureau previously issued a citation notifying Hobby King of its legal and regulatory obligations and ordering it to cease and desist from marketing non-compliant equipment. Additionally, the Bureau issued a citation against Hobby King for failing to fully respond to a letter of inquiry. Despite these citations, Hobby King has continued its apparently unlawful practices," unquote. Hobby King had denied that it was marketing its drone transmitters to U.S. customers, but in its January 2017 complaint, ARRL pointed out that a member was able to purchase a drone transmitter from Hobby King and have it shipped to a U.S. address. In his letter to the FCC Spectrum Enforcement Division, ARRL General Counsel Chris Imlay, W3KD, described the transmitters as being blatantly illegal at multiple levels and noted that they used frequencies intended for navigational aids, air traffic control radar, air route surveillance radars, and global positioning systems, and not only amateur radio frequencies as the marketer had purported. ARRL lab staffers Mike Gruber, W1MG, and Bob Allison, WB1GCM, and lab manager Ed Hare, W1RFI, bought and tested some of the units, confirming the cited issues. In a related news release, the FCC said that while Hobby King represented that its transmitters operated in designated amateur radio bands, the commission's investigation uncovered that 65 models could also apparently operate outside of the ham bands. The FCC noted that amateur radio equipment used to telecommand model craft are limited to 1 watt, but 3 transmitters operated at significantly higher power levels of 1.5 and 2 watts. The Baker Island de-expedition, set to get underway on June 27th and continue until July 7th, is preparing for less-than-ideal conditions. The sponsoring Dateline DX Association said this week that its 15 operators are planning to maximize the times they will be available to work into propagation-challenged regions of the world. Their effort will include round-the-clock operation on 20 meters. On all bands, they plan to use SSB, CW, RTTY, and FT8. The de-expedition's permit restricts antennas to 43-foot verticals, which will compound the difficulty on some bands. Demand in the amateur community is likely to be high, since Baker Howard Islands is the fifth most wanted DXCC entity. The 18th USA Championships of Amateur Radio Direction Finding will take place June 13th through the 17th near Truckee, California, some 30 miles southwest of Reno, Nevada. The competition sites are at about 6,300 feet elevation near Donner Summit. An unofficial practice day will take place on June 13th. The opening day will be devoted to foxering, a combination of radio direction finding and classic orienteering. The morning of Friday, June 15th, will be the sprint event, followed by a model event for equipment testing and a competitor briefing. Classic 2-meter and 80-meter competitions will take place Saturday and Sunday, respectively. The course designer is Bob Cooley, KF6VSE, and the meet director is Jay Hennigan, WB6RDV, both USAARDF championship medalists. The Hungarian National Media and Info Communications Authority has published an update to the National Frequency Allocation Table to provide amateur radio access to the band 5351.5 to 5366.5 kHz at a maximum power of 15 watts per World Radio Communication Conference 2015. Previously, 3-month permits were available to allow access to 5350 to 5450 kHz at 100 watts, but these were discontinued in 2017. The Federal Communications Commission has turned away a petition for rulemaking from a Michigan radio amateur that asked the commission to amend Section 97.205 of the Amateur Service Rules to ensure that repeaters using digital communications protocols do not interfere with analog repeaters. Charles Atkins, KHCPA of Lincoln Park, had specifically requested that discrete analog and digital repeaters be separated either by distance or frequency, and that digital repeaters be limited to 10-watt output. Atkins had characterized digital repeaters as a major annoyance to analog repeater operators. The FCC told Atkins that current Part 97 rules already address the subject of interference between amateur stations, prohibiting, among other things, willful or malicious interference to any radio communication or signal, and spelling out how interference disputes between repeaters should be handled. Quote, "You have not demonstrated any changed circumstances or other reason that would warrant revisiting this decision. Consequently, we dismiss your petition." Unquote. The ARRL Foundation has announced 2 new scholarships available to young radio amateurs to support their post-secondary education, bringing the total number of scholarships the foundation administers to 81. The new scholarships have been endowed by the East Coast Amateur Radio Service and the Palomar Amateur Radio Club. Applicants for the East Coast Amateur Radio Service Scholarship must be performing at a high academic level and pursuing full-time studies at a 2-year vocational school or 4-year undergraduate degree-granting institution, with no restrictions on the applicant's field of study. Applicants must be between 17 and 25 years old at the time of the award and reside in the general East Coast Amateur Radio Service coverage area, which includes the ARRL Atlantic, Great Lakes, Hudson, New England, and Roanoke divisions. The scholarship award will be $1,000 annually. Applicants for the Palomar Amateur Radio Club Scholarship must be high school seniors performing at a high academic level and accepted at an accredited college, university, junior college, or a vocational technical school in the U.S. They should demonstrate activity and interest in radio service or technical proficiency by participating in some form of radio-related activity, such as emergency communications, equipment construction, or community service. Preference will go to applicants who live in San Diego or Imperial counties in California. The scholarship award will be $1,000 annually, with the first scholarship awarded in 2019. The Palomar Amateur Radio Club Scholarship Fund Committee will determine the number of scholarships to be awarded each year. The Park Scholarship is endowed with a $25,000 gift from the club.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and I'm speaking with Bart Yonke, W9JJ, the ARRL Contest Branch Manager. And you know why we're here, Bart? We need a grid chase update.
We do, absolutely, Steve. Thanks for having me on. You know, May is almost completely in the books now. We've got the June 10th cutoff coming up at 2359 UTC. That's just 5 days away. Quick analysis of the data from the month of May show that we're seeing increases in the upper HF bands in activity, as well as on the 6-meter, 2-meter, 70-centimeter, and bands all the way up and including 10 gigahertz.
Really? Yeah. Even the microwave bands?
Absolutely. So on two fronts, of course, one is added increased activity both in the U.S. and Europe, and secondly, just as we get into the increased e-skip season, certainly for 6 and 2 meters, etc.
Yeah, I've been noticing a lot of activity on 50.313 where the FT8 folks hang out.
Sure has been, and those spots are coming through loud. I've got my own dxmaps.com set up for alerts, so I see 2 to 3 alerts every day for contacts exceeding 1,000 kilometers, and also alerts telling me about multi-hop events.
Well, speaking of VHF, we have a contest coming up this weekend, the ARRL June VHF contest. And just to emphasize, for those who don't know, all of these contacts count for the International Grid Chase, correct?
Exactly, Steve. Everything that you work and upload to Logbook of the World counts for the International Grid Chase. So if you're uploading your VHF contest logs, particularly this weekend's June VHF contest, it all counts. One thing I did want to mention is we've got Field Day coming up here in just a couple of weeks.
That's right.
And that will be another event where people engaged in the International Grid Chase are going to find a relationship with Field Day, particularly where Field Day sites choose to operate from a more unique grid square. We want to make sure, obviously, that those Field Day groups that are participating do take advantage of our locator site. That's www.arl.org/field-day-locator so that people know where they're operating from. And remember that the digital modes are a hot topic. FT8 specifically, take a look at June QST page 83, where we discuss how groups can include or use the FT8 mode during their Field Day exchanges, particularly when they put it in the TX5 sequence, which allows them to use 13 free text characters to incorporate their transmitter count, their class, and their section. Remember, the exchange in Field Day is transmitter count, class, and section.
All right. Very good, Bart. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
The International CubeSat and Mission Contest is being held in China at the Northwestern Polytechnical University. It is open to students from middle schools through universities from around the world. Also, researchers from research institutes, as well as individuals or groups interested in CubeSat and astronautics. The theme of the contest is CubeSat, the platform of an innovative space mission. Besides having a monetary prize for first, second, and third place, the first place winner will also receive one free launch opportunity of a 3U CubeSat or a 1U payload capacity. The award ceremony will be held at the China Microsatellite Symposium on November 20th, 2018. What a great opportunity to have your school or group recognized. For more information, visit CubeSatContest.org. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, June 8th. That on-again, off-again sunspot group that we talked about last week, well, it's rotating out of view now, but nothing has shown up so far to take its place. That being the case, we're going to see a decline in the solar flux index, with the result that bands above 20 meters will be somewhere between mediocre and dead. The good news, though, is that we're exiting from a stream of solar wind, so conditions on the lower band should be stable for a while. We have a promising weekend coming up on VHF and UHF with the ARRL June VHF contest starting at 1800 UTC on Saturday. Conditions have been good on 6 meters, and there have been a number of tropo openings on 2 meters and up.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information...
Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now? Or maybe you have a strong opinion about an issue. Energy, agriculture, the environment, the Common Core standards, or broadband access. Don't keep it to yourself. Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message, and we'll play it on the air. Leave a 3-minute message, 518-291-9492, with your take for all you hear. Again, that number is 518-291-9492. To leave a 3-minute message that may be played on All Together Now. Thanks for getting involved in your local community.
I am Big Vern Hutt City. What's good with you? I got the boys in the house with me. And fellas, we are in the middle of the pledge drive. Mm-hmm. So don't start yet. Don't start it until I get this right, man. Let me do what I'm supposed to do here. Let's go.
So, I mean, you know, we usually only ask you guys for supporting and listening to our shows and the different programs that come on WGXC. But, you know, when it's pledge drive time, we need you to kick in and support a little bit more than you normally do. So if you would like to hear us continue to be on the radio, continue to have great shows that are appearing right here on WGXC 90.7 FM, please donate. Any amount helps a lot. Doesn't matter, you're not locked into that. 518-697-7400, or you can go online to wgxc.org/donate. If you want to be gracious enough to get a tour of the studio and you want to do that in person, you can come to the Hudson studio. It's at 369 Warren Street on the 4th Street side, Hudson, New York, 12534. Or you can even mail your donations in to WGXC in care of Wave Farm, 5662 Route 23, Agra, New York, 12405. Pledge, pledge, pledge. Keep us on the air. Show your love and your support.
That's Ray. You did that, dog.
Appreciate you. It's been a minute since I did that.
Yeah.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Graham. Amanda Purcell of Columbia Green Media reports that there will be a little bit of Pride Parade in the Flag Day Parade in Hudson this year, and vice versa. Representatives of the city's two largest parades will be represented in each other's parades this year for the first time. The Flag Day Parade is at 2 p.m. on June the 9th, and the Pride Day Parade is June the 16th. A June 6th statement from Out Hudson read, and I quote, "In the spirit of unity, Out Hudson's Pride marches will have a contingent in the Flag Day Parade, and the Flag Day Committee will march in the Pride Parade," end quote. Out Hudson Chairman Rich Volo said in a statement, and I quote, "This is a time for unity, a time that the city of Hudson comes together. I'm happy to march in the Flag Day Parade this year with the Out Hudson banner," end quote. And you can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. Kenneth Lubbitt reports for the New York Daily News that Mark Molinaro, running for New York governor, said June 7th that if elected, he'd only serve no more than 2 terms and wants term limits for other state officials. Molinaro, a Republican, is currently in his 2nd term as Dutchess County Executive. He is proposing that the governor, attorney general, and state controller would be limited to no more than 2 4-year terms. Citizens would also not be allowed to vote for legislators after 6 2-year terms under Molinaro's proposal. Molinaro said, and I quote, "To show the legislature I'm serious, I will start with my own imposed term limits, with or without them," end quote. And you can read that full story in the New York Daily News. The 7 Democrats in the congressional primary June 26 for New York's 19th district are now in the stunt campaign portion of the election. The Daily Freeman reports that Pat Ryan is marching from the home of President Franklin D. Roosevelt in Hyde Park to U.S. Representative John Faso's district office in Kingston Saturday, June 16th. Ryan says he's doing the march to demand action to end gun violence, but he and other candidates are attempting to stand out in the crowded field. The Times Union reported that David Clegg began a 3-day, 200-mile bike trip June 6, visiting a number of pollution hotspots in the district on the way. Gareth Rhodes has been at this longer, visiting all 163 towns and cities in the district before the June 26 vote. Aaron Collier, Jeff Beals, Antonio Delgado, and Brian Flynn are also running in the June 26 election, with the winner facing incumbent John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, in November.
Carly Miller reports for the Columbia Green Media that on May 10th, Wyndham updated their 2005 sign law and now allows sandwich board signs. Now, 25 by 45 inch signs, freestanding triangle shaped boards are allowed within 300 feet of their building during business hours. They must go inside during snowstorms. Councilperson Ian Peters said, and I quote, "It's the culmination of more than a half year of going back and forth and getting input. We're keeping our laws modern and up to date with what's happening in the town, having government responsive laws like the ban on digital signs," end quote. Councilperson Don Murray said, and I quote, "There are 47 businesses from Route 296 to the end of South Street on Route 23 alone. If everyone decided to put out a sandwich board, that would be kind of ridiculous," end quote. Businesses must apply for special use or two-year permit for the signs. And you can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. This has been the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For more information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
As of today, the it's not annual, it's like biannual, WGXC pledge drive has begun. So if you enjoy what you hear on this station, and I mean, why wouldn't you? You get to listen to us.
Yeah, we're great. Yeah. Maybe the best show to ever exist. Howard Stern's got then, nothing on this show.
Okay.
Then you can go ahead and make some donations to make sure that we can stay on the air bringing you quality content for as long as possible. If you want to make a donation, you can call in at 518-697-7400. If you didn't get that, you can look it up. You can make a donation online at wgxc.org/donate, or you can come right on down and give us the donation yourself.
Or if you can't do any of these things, you could still call that number and leave a friendly message.
You can.
Make it 10 minutes, please.
Do it.
Make it a 10-minute message, please.
But yeah, so if you want to come down and give us the donation face-to-face, you can do it at the place we are broadcasting from right now, which is 369 Warren Street, Hudson, New York.
You know what? The easier way to describe this is the... stuff. Or the easier way to describe this is... giant church on Warren Street.
Yes.
It's where underneath it. Also just dig underneath it, you'll find us.
Yes, also the only church on Warren Street.
Oh. Well, you know, big stone one.
Alternatively, you can mail in your donation to 5662 Route 23, Acre, New York.
If you want to pay for postage, that's up to you.
If you'd like to pay for postage, you can do that.
No.
But if you have a thing against paying for postage, you can make an online donation, you can call in your donation, or you can just show up. Then you can say hi.
You could donate 66 cents. And then the stamp will cover that for a whole dollar.
You can donate 69 cents, because that's the true meme.
We're in the middle of our pledge drive here at WGXC, trying to raise $25,000 over the next week or so. So don't be shy. Give us a call at 518-697-7400 and pledge your support for local hands-on community radio. For DJs like the Magic Stranger. And for all of our volunteer programmers that come here just to keep you informed of all of the important information that you need to know and all of that nonsensical music you need to hear, and local, regional, international news, opinions, right here on WGXE. That's 518-697-7400. Go online at wgxc.org/donate and become a sustaining member. These sustaining members are very helpful. You can go on to our donate website and decide to contribute $5, $10, $20 a month. Not much to ask. Think of all those Netflix and how much you spend on coffee every month, and try to support us at $5 a month. That's helpful. Something we know we can count on. It's helpful. get online at wgxc.org/donate and become a sustaining member. You're already a part of our WGXC family. And then you don't even have to think about calling in. You got that auto pay set up. It makes you happy, makes us happy, makes everybody on the planet happy. We're standing in the middle of a field right now. You can hear cows in the distance and crickets in the grass. That's 518-697-7400, ladies and gentlemen. 518-697-7400. Thank you for your support. Tell us. Tell us what you think of the station. What do you think of the station?
You must know that we are kicked off our fundraiser for this period. I don't know exactly what we're calling this one. But I will know before the day is over, I'll tell you that. So, we've been through this many times, folks. You know that in order for WGXC to continue providing you with quality community radio, we have to have money from the community to do that. It's your radio station, and you support it. So we're asking you, as we have in the past, to open your hearts and your pockets and whatever else there may be about you that encourages you to give us a call and make a pledge to our community radio station so that we may continue to provide you with quality FM radio, creative, hands-on as it is, that brings you a mixture of entities to entertain, inform, in all of the aspects of today's life and today's world, in our company, in our county in particular. So I thank you now, and as I've said in the past, folks, you know, I don't care if you are listening to me. I don't care if you don't make a donation during my time on the air, but I do care that you take some time between now and the time this fun drive is over to make a contribution.
Consider making a donation to the WGXC Spring Pledge Drive, Summer Pledge Drive, 518-697-7400. You can't tell if it's spring or summer around here. 518-697-7400 is the number to call, or go online to wgxc.org/donate and make a donation to keep local radio live and local.
For our next segment, WOOC correspondent Aaron Pednotti sat down with Paul Baim from the Prometheus Radio Project about their efforts to support low-power FM stations.
I'm Aaron Pednati, and today I'm interviewing Paul Baim about the objection that the Prometheus Radio Project, a nonprofit based in Philadelphia, is filing with the Federal Communications Commission over its failure to effectively enforce the Local Community Radio Act of 2011. Paul is a longtime activist and engineer and currently serves as the Prometheus Radio Project's Director of Engineering. Thanks for coming on today, Paul. It's good to be getting your inside perspective on this very important topic.
Nice to chat with you.
So before we get into the details of the objection that you're filing, can you give us a general sense of what the Local Community Radio Act of 2011 is about? What's its intended legislative purpose in a general sense?
Right. I think most generally it was to make LPFM opportunities available in cities. And the way it did that is by reversing earlier legislation, which it was performed with fraudulent information back in the early 2000s, which doomed a lot of low-power FM stations and prohibited LPFM stations in most cities on technical means, which I won't get into. And the other way that it made LPFM opportunities, especially in cities, is through something that's called Section 5. There's like 10 sections. And Section 5 assures that there's supposed to be room on the dial for LPFMs in a few different ways. In particular, they recognize that LPFM and repeaters of other FM radio stations and AM stations, which we call translators, LPFM and these translators compete for space on the dial. So they had some language in Section 5 that said basically play fair.
I see. So what's the problem with the way this legislation has been enforced?
Well, the first time it was enforced, there was no problem. After the Local Community Radio Act passed, the FCC created a bunch of specific tests for translator applicants. These are the repeaters who are seeking to get new translators. They created a bunch of tests at the FCC that these applicants would pass or not pass to show that they were compliant with the Local Community Radio Act. And some of the repeaters changed their locations to comply. Some did not change their locations and were not compliant, and they were dismissed. And this seems like a pretty solid precedent for how the FCC could enforce the Local Community Radio Act today, especially since there are a lot of new translator applications on the books. Unfortunately, since 2013, we haven't seen anything referencing the Local Community Radio Act. In particular, none of the pending applications have any information that shows that they comply with the Local Community Radio Act, which isn't surprising because the FCC has not given anybody a method to show compliance, even if they wanted to. So to save LPFMs, basically, we filed individual objections against 998 of these applications pending at the FCC.
And just for the members of our audience who might not understand some of the more technical terminology, a repeater is a relay station for a radio station that's trying to set up a network that allows it to have a larger broadcasting range than it would have from its own broadcasting mast from the radio station itself, right?
Right. And the original purpose is worth reviewing. Originally, they were for filling in holes. So if you had a radio station that covered an area, but there was a valley in the middle of your area that wasn't getting coverage, you could get a translator to fill in the hole.
And that purpose ended up shifting over time so that it was about getting the signal out to a larger audience.
Indeed. And in the case of AM cross-service translators, it's getting AM stations repeated onto the FM dial.
And that's creating disruptions for low-power FM networks and stations?
It is.
Okay. So now let's shift to the details of the objection that you're filing. First of all, what exactly does it mean to file an objection with the FCC in the first place, and what specifically is the Prometheus Radio Project objecting to with regard to FCC policies?
Right. So when you apply for a radio station or apply to make changes to a radio station, when you apply to the FCC, every application goes through a process, and there are several steps in this process where people can object. And so the applications that we are objecting against were in a particular phase of their application process, where we are able to file informal objections. What that does is, even though they're informal, the formal version would be a petition, and they have a much higher legal bar to hurdle, a much higher legal hurdle to clear. But informal objections, if they contain substantive issues, are treated very seriously usually, and they result in individual looks by the FCC at every station in every circumstance to see what applies and what doesn't and what they're going to do about it. So instead of sort of solving the LCRA issues in one swoop, it would be done by going one by one through the applications and resolving them. This filing, incidentally, is a brainchild of Common Frequency, which is one of the other groups that we filed with. Also signing on is the Center for International Media Action, another ally here in Philadelphia. And I forgot the other half of your question.
What specifically is it objecting to?
Right. Our list of objections is pretty long, but it boils down to Section 5 of the Local Community Radio Act, which assures fairness between translators and low-power FM stations, wasn't enforced at all, and we think it should be. And if it's not, we fear that low-power FM stations are going to be pressured and some of them will die due to stations that might not actually be compliant with the law. And we're not willing to wait for the long-term processes to play out to save these stations. That's why we filed the objection.
So in your view, what's the most important issue at stake in this action?
The most important issue at stake is we want to protect LPFM stations like yours from translators, ultimately to assure opportunities for future awesome LPFM stations to exist. And while the Local Community Radio Act is not enforced, it's riskier for LPFM's established ones as well as new ones.
Okay. And my last question is, speaking from your own experience as a media activist, how can people who are concerned about local radio get involved and make their voices heard on this issue?
That's a good question, without good answers, I'm afraid. The background here is that we're just a few engineers with no funding and no prepared materials for allies. So if you're in this game and you know this kind of stuff, you're welcome to contact us, and we can work together to try to make something happen. Otherwise, I mean, you can contact your Congress and Senator and those kind of things and say, hey, we don't want the FCC to just throw these informal objections in the trash can, but to treat them seriously.
Well, Paul, thanks again for this interview. And on behalf of myself, WOOC, and the Sanctuary for Independent Media, I wish you the very best of luck in your struggle. It does sound like it's an uphill battle, but we wish you all the best in that.
Thank you very much. We can use every wish we can get.
That was Aaron Pettinati speaking with Paul Baim of the Prometheus Radio Project.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load.
When you're tired of your toys and of your games and of the television, when you're done with chores and homework, then it's time to make a big decision. You might need a change of scenery. It might be time to go over mountains, over oceans, through dark jungles down below. On an airplane, on a railroad, on a tall ship with the tide, all you need's a little music. How's about it? What do you say we buckle up and go for a little ride?
Let's go everywhere, man. Let's go everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I was
was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road when along came a semi with a high and canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. So I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand. And I said, listen, bud, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere.
Been I wander everywhere.
I've been to
Ica.
Copic.
Cairo.
Catskill. Greenport. Claverack. Kinderhook.
Maryville.
Germantown.
Greenville.
Schoharie.
Green County.
Patrick. Ashland.
Chatham.
And East Durham.
Athens.
Haines Falls. Hunter.
And, Coxsackie.
Preston Hollow. Oak Hill.
Anchorage.
Great Barrington.
Hawthorne Valley.
New Baltimore.
Hudson, New York.
I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Ica.
Copic.
Cairo.
Catskill. Greenport. Claverack. Kinderhook.
Maryville.
Germantown.
Greenville.
Schoharie.
Green County.
Patrick.
Ashland.
Chatham.
And East Durham.
Athens.
Haines Falls. Hunter.
And, Coxsackie.
Preston Hollow. Oak Hill.
Anchorage.
Great Barrington.
Hawthorne Valley.
New Baltimore.
Hudson, New York.
Life is a rock.
Ica.
Copic.
Cairo.
Catskill. Greenport. Claverack. Kinderhook.
Maryville.
Germantown.
Greenville.
Schoharie.
Green County.
Patrick.
Ashland.
Chatham.
And East Durham.
Athens.
Haines Falls. Hunter.
And, Coxsackie.
Preston Hollow. Oak Hill.
Anchorage.
Great Barrington.
Hawthorne Valley.
New Baltimore.
Hudson, New York.
I've been everywhere.
I've been everywhere.